Thanks for listening in Rochester and in Buffalo, all across Western New York State, Northwestern Pennsylvania near Erie, and then, of course, in Southern Ontario, Toronto, and points north of the Arctic Circle. Ed McLaughlin is author of The Father You've Always Wanted, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. And great to have you on the program, Ed. Thank you for taking some time to be with us.
An honor to be with you, Neil, and everybody who's listening.
Yeah, now, I mentioned briefly earlier you played football in the National Football League for, I think, the Giants, Jets, and Rams. Is that right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we never had you here in Buffalo. Maybe we would have had happier stories to tell if you'd ever
played.
Well,
you never know about those things. And never even got to play in your stadium there in Buffalo.
No kidding. Yeah, well, let's see. The Jets, though, they're in our conference, so that you might have been injured at that point. I know you had a serious knee injury, right? That prompted you to take a second look at being in the NFL?
Well, actually, it was kind of the second half of a conversation I had in college when I, first met Jesus, and had a major knee injury in college, and they told me after the exam, it was a hard practice one day, that I tore all three major ligaments. Well, that night, went back to my dorm room, Neil, and a Presbyterian campus pastor from the Coalition for Christian Outreach by the name of Bill Romanowski came to my dorm room and read a verse of scripture with me, John 3:16,
mm-hmm.
and prayed with me. And that's the first time I ever heard the Bible. I was never, besides hearing the Bible in movies about Jesus, I'd never really been to church.
Mm-hmm.
My focus, and was born again then, received Christ then, and got this amazing do-over in room 603 in Kilcolly Dormitory there at Youngstown State. And he prayed for me, and my knee was healed. And just the way I said it, all the next morning when I went down for surgery, the three ligaments that were detached evidently reattached that night through this prayer, and the doctor gave me a clean bill of health, and I walked out of the hospital that I was carried in on.
How do they explain that when they give you, back then they probably weren't doing MRIs, but they determined that you've got three detached ligaments. The next morning they go to do surgery, they realize you're healed.
He was Dr. Vuksta. He was at Youngstown State University. Well, it was after that, after that incredible moment with Jesus that I went on a walk, and I said, well, what do you want out of my life? And he said two things to me, and it was the first time I had heard the voice of the Lord and just was inside. It wasn't an audible voice on the outside. It was just him speaking in that still, small voice. He said, I want you to fulfill your dream and play professional football. And I got to tell you, Neil, I was absolutely just overwhelmed. I remember yelling in the quad there at Youngstown State, if I knew you were this cool, I got saved a long time ago.
Why not, right?
I mean, a guy who likes football. Now, come on, what's the deal on that?
I'm all good with it. What years did you play at Youngstown State?
I played, I graduated in 1978. So I played from 74 to 1978 at Youngstown State.
Okay, and I played football at Boston University from 78 to 82. And while I know for sure during the 4 years I was there, we never played Youngstown State, I'm going to guess we had common opponents.
We did have common opponents. Well, the second of that conversation to Youngstown was this line I didn't understand, but when I call for it back, I want you to give it up. Well, I was at Eagle training camp.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep, and the father I always wanted showed up there, on a walk outside of the dorm, and calls me into the ministry. He says, "Now give this up and preach the gospel." Well, I was so scared by that calling that I started trying to negotiate.
Of course, right?
Because yeah. I was playing football, I said, "God, I mean, don't you know how much money I give to church?" And he's like, he wasn't impressed. And so it's like, I didn't know that when God calls you, it's really the direction that you're going to go. You get to choose whether or not you get to walk into it or go through a knothole backwards. And yours truly went through the knothole backwards. And the next day, against Charlie Johnson, All-Pro nose guard for the Philadelphia Eagles, on a pass-blocking drill, I blew my knee out. And that's when I really, really tore my knee up. The opposite knee that God healed.
No kidding. So were you getting confused, though? Because, I mean, on the one hand, you're thinking, fulfill your dream, play in the NFL, and then give it up and go into ministry. That kind of, were you feeling schizophrenic?
Well, I was so, you know, part of the reason that in the book that I've written, the difference a father makes, and now my new one, The Father You've Always Wanted, is when a boy is raised without a father in his story, or a dad who knows how to bless him, and the same with a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this compelling need inside of him to find out who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So he names himself by something earthbound.
For instance?
Football player.
Okay.
Here's another false name, pastor.
Mm.
Business person,
mm-hmm.
Lawyer, doctor. And those are all actually functions that we get to do. That's not necessarily the identity that God wants for us. Because if we lose our job, then who are we, Neil?
Right, yeah.
I mean, if you're a top, you know, talk show host on the radio and you stop doing that, do you cease to be Neil?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not according to Scripture, but the struggle that a boy has, and my dad, my story started in 1956, about a month before my birth, and my father was killed in a plane accident. He was a test pilot in the Navy. And the night before he crashed into the Pacific Ocean outside of Monterey, California, he was reading something in his Bible, circles it with a red pen, has a strange look on his face, and the next morning he crashes in the sea.
What was in
a test flight.
Any idea what was in the Bible?
Yeah, and my mother actually shared it with me, you know, years later. He circled a single word in a story in the book of Matthew, and it was a story of Jesus walking on the water towards the disciples in the boat. And when he got close, Peter, being the bold one, the outspoken one, by the way,
mm-hmm.
said, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And that was the word that my father circled in his Bible.
Hmm.
And so, I mean, I had that kind of story from my dad, and my mother remarried a Navy commander, a submarine commander, who his rites of passage into manhood was his father discovering that he was afraid of the water and threw him off the bridge at 13 years old into a river outside of Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Thanks, Dad. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Screamed over him as he fell. Sink or swim, die or try, it's up to you, boy, if you make it. And so, you know, in the midst of that, he tried to be the best dad he could, but and here's one of the truths that I write about in my new book, and it's really kind of the story and the message of my life, is that I've never met a dad who didn't want to bless his daughters and sons, didn't want to be a better husband. But what happens in their life when they don't know who they are, when they don't have a name, they make every emotional transaction about discovering who they are. And when they do that, they're the ones screaming in the stands over their sons to play better, not necessarily for their son's sake, but for their name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And their daughters, who are desperate for the look from a father, and when have that present moment when their dad blesses them and names them, he's so caught up with his own identity that so many times he misses his daughters, only to launch them into a life of looking around and trying to find a boy somewhere that will name them beautiful, that will say those things to them that their first man in their life, their dad, never really got to say. And yet how many times girls end up marrying a boy they try to turn into the father they never had in their story. Part of this journey that God's had me on, Neil, was just in a very powerful way renaming this football player to the name that God really wanted me to have and the identity that he wants all of us to have as his sons and daughters, mm-hmm. So that we can be present in an hour right now, Neil, where around the world, just starting with our own country, more than 51% of all the children in homes right now, whether they're single mom and dad homes or married homes or just on their own, 51% of them have no present father in their story at all.
And if they do, some of them may be absentee dads, emotionally absent dads. So it may even be worse than that.
Well, just from the non-scientific research that we've done, just from the conferences and the tens of thousands of people that we've ministered to in the last couple of years, about 83% of every crowd and every church that we minister to carries the same wound from their father. Hmm. And without meaning to, and we're talking about born again, I love Jesus people. Without meaning to, they pass that same wound onto their sons and daughters. And left alone, these kids, in a culture that's evolving away from the truth of God's word and who God's made us to be, mm-hmm. they're trying to find their identity in everything, whether it's a pair of jeans or a sexual identity or their friends or a career or, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet this generation of kids that I think is one of the most extraordinary generations that I've ever seen. I think that we live in a time, Neil, before two great moves of God to kind of finish the show. If I could be a little prophetic here, I think in Malachi's prophecy, the greatest need in the world right now is that the hearts of fathers would be turned back to their children.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the second tick of the clock is when we see the hearts of our kids, Neil, turning back to the Father, and the restoration of the family that God has made us to be on the earth, where in church we have the best marriages. Single people walk in righteousness and date one another with moral purity because they're so secure in their identity. They don't give those intimate sexual gifts away for an I love you or because of a wound. Mm-hmm. Our children are so secure in who they are that they're influencing the high schools towards change because they stand up as a voice because of the person of Christ and the blessing of the Father in their story.
And that's the way it ought to be, and that's the way it can be, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Ed, hang on one second. We got to take a break. Ed Tandy McGlosson is author of the book, The Father You've Always Wanted, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. It's a book that you really need to read, but it's also one we're going to be talking about here for the next hour or so. So I hope that you'll be a part of the conversation. And I have several to give away. So at any point, if you want to join us with a question or a comment, you just make sure you give Michael your phone number, and we'll draw the names of a couple of winners at the end of the program, and we'll have some copies of the books to give away to those of you who have participated. And we don't have enough for all of you, but randomly we'll draw some names, and some of you will get a chance to win. Now, keep in mind, everyone who participates this week, everyone's name is going in the hat for the Weber Q200 grill that we're giving away on Friday, just in time for Father's Day. All right, so you really have a chance to win two different things today, maybe a book and the grill on Friday, who knows. But Friday we'll be drawing from all of the names that we've collected this week in conversations about dads and about fathers leading up to Father's Day. All right, we'll be back in a moment. Let's hear from you, 1-800-684-2848, 800-684-2848, 883-5000. I sense deeply in my heart right here, right now, that today we're going to be speaking to some deep wounds and some deep needs in people's hearts. And you're going to be able to identify with that. Don't hesitate to call in and let's talk about it because God's word is filled with promises. God is a father to the fatherless, and he's all about healing broken hearts, and he's about healing families and seeing the hearts of children turn back to their fathers as the hearts of fathers turn back to their children. So let's pray for great things today. And Lord, we just ask that you bless our conversation. anoint Ed, Lord, in his sharing of the truths he's learned throughout his life about how you can be a father to the fatherless. And Lord, teach us some things about who you are today. We want to see your heart, Father God, in the midst of this conversation, so that your name will be glorified and healing will come. And God, we will give you the glory for what you accomplish in all of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. 1-800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. Ed McGlosson, author of The Father You've Always Wanted, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. Thanks for being with us. Ed McGlosson, our guest, The Father You've Always Wanted, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. 1-800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. We've got a lot to talk about regarding the content of the book, but here's what I'm thinking. Ed, if it's all right, as we get into this, and I want you to mention the podcast in just a second, but as we get to some of these calls, let's talk about the content of the book in light of the phone calls. In other words, as we get into some of these conversations, feel free to bring up any content you want, because I want to get to as many calls and let you talk about your book freely, you know, with regard to that. The podcast, real quick, you do something on a regular basis about this?
Yeah, we just started. It's called Father Talk.
And it's on
our website at edkennymcglosson.com.org as well.
Okay.
And it's a weekly podcast, and it's questions from conferences. And at the end of every conference, I sit on a stool in front of the church, and we talk from anywhere from 3 to 5 hours.
Oh, man. And what does that tell you?
Well, yeah, and it's when the first time I did it, Neil, I wept for 3 hours because I realized that for some of these in the crowd, this is the first time they've ever sat down with a father and talked.
Mm.
And just the hunger they had for their families to be whole, their marriages to be secure, and for their kids to, you know, change the world was so deep in them, and yet they felt so hopeless. And there's a verse that I write about in my book in Lamentations 5:3, and it's the song of the world. And it's in the message, it says this: orphans we are, not a father in sight, and our mothers are no better than widows.
Hmm.
And if that's not the cry of the world, you know, it's the cry, unfortunately, of the White House right now. And there's a man leading our country who had two father figures who left him. Many in the Senate and the Congress and the school systems and all over our world, there's a wound that the devil's trying to make us fill with toys and things and possessions and achievements and names. And no matter how much we attain, no matter how many things we conquer, there's just this ache in us.
Sure.
that we're made to be adored and to be somebody's son or daughter. And when that's hurt, it creates a huge wound.
All right. EdTandyMcGlosson.com. That website is available on our Facebook page and at WDCXRadio.com. So look for the link, EdTandyMcGlosson.com, on Facebook and at our WDCXRadio.com Lifeline show notes page. All right. Let's get to it here. Cassie, I hope I'm saying that right. Hi, Cassie. Can you hear me? Cassie, are you with me? Okay, I'm going to put her on hold. Not sure why we're hearing her on Hybrid 1. Do we got Hybrid 1? Okay, let me go to Debbie in Geneseo. Hi, Debbie, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm wondering if Cassie maybe is listening to the radio, which means she's 20 seconds behind what we're saying and didn't realize we were talking to her. So, Cassie, please just listen in your phone. And when we get to your call, you'll know that we're talking to you. Debbie, we've got you, though. Let's start there, and you're in Geneseo. Good to have you with us. You had a comment to make?
Well, I had a comment and just an observation. I was driving home. I happened to listen to what you were talking about. And I have two daughters, 24 and 27. And years ago, their father and I went through a horrible divorce. Both Bible-believing, born-again, participating Christians. He was studying to be a pastor. You know, something happened, and the devil opened that door to a much younger woman in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we divorced and they remarried. But as the years have gone on, I raised my daughters in the church But as they get older now, I've seen the relationships one after another, and not like serial, but, you know, a couple of years with this guy, a couple of years with that guy. We move in, we're living together, then something happens and their hearts get broken, and I'm saying, listen, this is not going to heal you. This is not going to end well. This is not what God has for you, you know. And I get so sad that I'm watching them go through this pattern of broken hearts and moving in with men, and you know they're not like out sleeping with every guy they meet, but it's you know long term serious relationships that end. And it's like my younger daughter even said, well, this is Dad's fault, you know, this is Dad's fault. And I'm thinking, well, you may think that it's his fault, but you also have a responsibility to act a certain way too. And it's like it's just so heartbreaking. And it's like, what, you know, I pray. And I tell them, I don't sugarcoat it for them.
Right.
But I, you know, I thought, well, maybe would this be a good book to give my daughters?
Yeah. Hey, Debbie, you know, let me tell you a little bit about, when I was raising my daughters, there's one time in my life where, you know, I was probably a lot like your husband. And when a man doesn't have a name, he looks something external to himself to find his identity. And one of the most insidious and quickest ways the devil does that for men is to offer them an affair to make them feel young.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens in what happened in your husband's heart and in a boy's heart without a dad who really was present, and you know, you can be born again, spirit-filled, love Jesus, read the Bible every day, but if you don't really know who he says you are, you carry this wound with you. And I remember when my daughters were little and I was discovering this, and I'll talk a little bit later in the show about what happened to me. But they were just little girls, and they were out in the atrium trying to get my attention. And while I was in my office studying, and I kept trying to focus on my Bible, and they kept dancing and singing. And I just cried out to God in exasperation. I said, God, what do women want? They're just so confusing. You know, I had this wife who, you know, would, you know, come in the room and say, I need more affection. And, of course, guys think affection has an S in front of it, but that's not true. Affection is baking the cake. You know, the icing is the other thing. And yet I struggled being affectionate with my daughters and my wife, not because I didn't love them, but because I was trying to get my name out of that moment. And when you're focused on yourself and your identity, it's like, well, you don't want to deal with emotional things and girls. And that's what my daughters were in the atrium. And I cried out to the Lord and I said, God, what do women want? And this, the voice of the Father I've always wanted, spoke to me in that moment and said, inside of your daughters and every little girl's heart, when she's born with a question in her heart. Daddy, do you see me?
Yes.
Am I beautiful?
Well, you know,
Am I someone to be loved?
My ex-husband was a good father while we were married. And he's tried over the years, but he's trying to find his identity in so many different places, and even the second marriage down the road is not working out.
And well, there's probably a very high possibility in the midst of it that your daughters, even the one daughter said it's your dad's fault, is because the first man that they put their trust in didn't follow through. And so what happens is they end up choosing guys that are projects. And that's why they don't stay with these guys, because they're constant projects. They're always trying to turn somebody into that dad that really disappointed them, who destroyed mom's heart, who, you know, destroyed his own reputation. And part of what I write about in The Father You've Always Wanted is the process of healing that God works through daughters. And see, when they're secure, see, one of the things I did with my own daughters and my sons is I had a time where I blessed them and kind of found something in Scripture that was a very powerful truth about the power of a father's voice, you know, over the lives of his children. And it's not just the voice, and it's living the life in front of them where you're the same guy in the pulpit on Sunday that you are at home. And when you're not that guy, because you don't know who you are, you create this instability. And I've had, and we do a women's conference as well, Debbie, that we've done around the world, actually, from South Africa to, you know, in New Zealand and Iceland and Europe. And I mean to tell you, we don't have enough Kleenex boxes as the Father shows up and begins healing with so many girls have yearned for in their own life. And that's to be somebody's daughter, truly. And a man that they love and respect who speaks life into them. And I've watched daughters just like yours just over and over again when they discover that they don't need their dad to get it together so that they can be healed. And they find out this amazing truth in Ephesians that I write about, that God the Father, since before the foundation of the earth, has waited to adopt your two daughters so he could be their father. And see, one of the most astounding things about the Trinity is that in Christ we get the whole Trinity, and we get the Father we've always wanted, as well as the person of the Holy Spirit to empower us. But that God wants to adopt your two daughters. That's the process of walking. And can I pray for your daughters right now?
Yes. So I want to ask you one question. My ex-husband now, my younger daughter, actually attends a very well-known church in the Buffalo area and was extremely on fire for the Lord and Jesus and attending and youth groups. And he was actually ridiculing her and making fun of her and saying, she found Jesus. Oh, she found God. Don't, you know, because he's kind of gone off away from the Lord. And I thought, boy, woe to you who are leading your daughter the other way and actually ridiculing and making fun of her.
Well, you know why he does that, by the way?
Well, because
he doesn't have it.
And because he failed. And,
that's what, you know, see, what orphans do is they make the world about them. Mm-hmm. They constantly make it about them. They constantly, you know, are looking for a name. And so part of the healing for your ex-husband is that he could leave the orphanage and become the beloved and become a son to the Father, so he could have a real life that's not always just about him. And that's the hope, and for your daughters.
Yeah.
So let me pray. Father, I pray for Debbie's daughters now.
Yes. Oh,
and for Debbie's heart.
Yes, Lord.
That this next season of her life would become one of the most extraordinary times that she's ever remembered, as her two daughters would come to know that there's a Father in heaven who, before the world began, planned on adopting both of them so that he could be their father.
Yes, God.
And they could leave the house of pain that their dad has framed for them. And they would stop dating boys, and you would fulfill Mama's dream and bring two godly men who are clear about who you've called them to be into their lives.
Yes, God.
Oh, yeah.
So that they could be fulfilled and have a love that lasts for the rest of their days.
Yeah.
And I ask you, Lord, that before January the 1st, that you would answer this prayer. And that you would do something so astounding that Debbie would send me an email and say, guess what happened?
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, I thank you for Debbie. I thank you for her honesty and what she's going through in her life. And I pray that you would just bring healing to Debbie as well. As Debbie reads this book, Lord, I pray that you would speak deeply into her, too, as a girl, and cause her to know that she is the beloved of the Lord. She's the beloved daughter of God.
Yes, God.
And that you would give her and the rest of her story, Lord, that you would be the father to her that she's that you have always wanted to be to her as well.
Yes,
and
God.
We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus.
Yes, amen. Oh, thank you.
Amen.
So much.
All right.
That is just such the cry of my heart. Thank you so much.
Let me do this. Debbie, I'm going to put you on hold, and we are going to be giving away a couple of these books randomly, but I'm going to make sure that you get an extra book that I have And I'm going to make sure you get that. And then we'll also give you Ed's email address so you can email him and tell him how God's at work in your family, because we do believe God's going to do some big stuff. Debbie, thank you. And Ed, hang on just a moment. We'll be back. Ed, Tandy McGlosson, our guest, the book called The Father You've Always Wanted. We lost Cassie somewhere along the line, so Dan and Kitchener, you're next. 1-800-684-2848, 883-5000. Ed, Tandy McGlosson, our guest, he wrote The Father You've Always Wanted, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. Wrote a book previously that also dealt with the issue of fatherhood, and he does speaking all over the country. He's got a regular podcast that you can listen to. Go to edtandymcglosson.com for details about that. But let's continue the conversation, and Dan and Kitchener, you're next. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. Dan, you had a comment for Ed. Good to have you with us, Dan.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for such a wonderful program that deals with real-life issues for everybody. That's so important that people see that God's grace is so big and he's so loving that he provides people to come up with information to help others out. And it's wonderful to be part of this family.
Well, thank you.
I want to say something about a little bit about my background. I was adopted later on in life. My first dad died drunk driving, and he took a few people with him. And the marriage in the first family was just awful, to put it mildly. But I got adopted by a Christian family, and the difference between the way the fathers dealt with us was amazing. And my first dad said, when you're wrong about something, apologize to whatever it does to make it right. But if you're right, don't back down, no matter what the cost. And my adoptive dad, Dad Anderson, he was gentle, meek, and mild. And when he wanted something done, that's how he approached it. There was no bombastic approach to, you got to do this now or whatever. It was very loving, very much like what Christ would do. And the one thing I wanted to do is not only thank our Father in heaven, because he's the one that provided the opportunity for me to change and grow along the way, because I wasn't a believer when my dad died. And I became a believer 9 months after I cursed God about taking my dad, because I was the only one living with my dad at the time. But the Lord's brought a lot of healing in my life as a result. And the thing is, I was always looking for a loving father. And the more I read scriptures, the more it became evident that, man, he had been pursuing a love relationship with me from the day I was conceived. And that was just so mind-blowing to me at the time, and it still is when I think about it. And I just wanted to thank the guest speaker there. Awesome that you're writing a book about fatherhood. It's necessary for men to be able to be emotional and not be afraid of getting in touch with the feminine side, or whatever, however you want to word it. you know, because the Lord was meek and he was mild and he cried for his people.
Yeah, that's right. Well, a little comment there, brother. We don't get feminine sides. You know, that's somebody came up with that. You're all man when you cry.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus is acquainted with sorrow. Yeah, when you man up, you just give yourself a heart attack early. And, you know, I've since Christ has come in my life and met the Father I've always wanted, I cry at everything. There's not a Hallmark movie I don't weep at. I mean, it just, yeah. I used to just watch Braveheart to get tough. Now I can't even watch Braveheart without crying.
But I cry at weddings, said
that when you were born. But what's so cool about Scripture is that there's a verse that really ministered to me years ago that said that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
That is just mind-boggling.
And what's amazing about that, if you just think about it, that if that's true, then there is no way that we can be a mistake.
No.
We could be born as the greatest family, you know, there in Buffalo. Or you could have been a failed attempt at an abortion, thrown in a trash can, and found.
Mm-hmm.
You were chosen by God before the foundation of the world that he could adopt you. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Mm-hmm. And so that you could be his son or daughter.
Yeah.
And what's so amazing about that is that if God's chosen us before he made, before he said, let there be light, he knew your name. He knew the story of your dad dying early with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And he drew in a loving man who was tender for Christ so he could model to you the very thing that he wants to do in your life, and that's to be your ultimate dad.
Absolutely. Abba, Father.
That's it, man.
Perfect.
Father.
Appreciate your call, Dan.
Yeah.
God bless you. All right, we're going to be back in a moment. Ed McLaughlin, our guest, and we'll continue. If you want to join us, now's a great time. I've got some phone lines for you. 1-800-684-2848, 800-684-2848. In the greater Buffalo area, 883-5000. I wanted to, if I can find it here real quick, read an email that Ed received a number of months ago. It said, and it's going to take just a moment to read it. It said, a friend gave me your little book, The Difference a Father Makes, and I'm unable to get through it. And of course, this was the first book that Ed wrote, but the email was received not too long ago. It said, I read 2 to 3 sentences, and I'm either stunned or I can't see through my tears. I'm a 41-year-old vibrant Christian woman with many gifts, a master's degree, and wonderful friends. Men are interested in me, though I can't seem to find Mr. Right. No one would imagine this spitfire, full of charm, beautiful smile of a woman, would be huddled in her car last night, sobbing inconsolably for 4 hours. I then wrote an apology letter to my family and friends, but could not come up with the plan that seemed least painful. A gigantic, unfulfilled longing to know a true father's love has caught me. Today I find myself still here on the planet. My eyes are too puffy and red to cry much more, and I'm so very tired inside. Then I see your first newsletter appear on my iPhone. My inside exhaustion of trying to keep going without being anyone's daughter is my time bomb. Last night, the hope that I've been trying to keep seemed to slip away like the pin taken out of a grenade. Tired and hopeless, I'm reading your email and I think, how does he know the Father so well? Ed, this may sound dramatic, but I want you to know, I want to know him more than I want to breathe. Signed, HB. Incredible. 1-800-684-2848, 883-5000. We're talking about the deep, deep hunger that each of us have for a father's love and to know that we are loved. And Ed has very eloquently explained how a lack of that kind of understanding, a lack of that peace in our lives leads us to search for what he calls a name for ourselves, a search to belong, a search to fit in, and it causes us to do some pretty ridiculous things and to make some pretty damaging decisions in our lives. Many of you can relate to that. Some of you have sons and daughters that are hurting as a result of a divorce, maybe growing up in a fatherless home, or maybe the situation had to do with an absentee dad or an emotionally absent dad. Even though there was a dad, he just wasn't around or he wasn't emotionally available. That same wound can wreak havoc in our lives until we come to know God the Father's love. And God the Father is the only one who can perfectly fill that void in our lives. Of course, it would be nice to see earthly dads turn their hearts back to their children, and that's our prayer, and to see children's hearts turn back to the Father. And as we head into Father's Day week, why not pray those kinds of dramatic and profound prayers? I think that is really where God's heart is at. But the reality is that apart from the Father's love, we'll never really know the kind of peace that's available in each of our lives. We'll be back in just a moment. Ed McLaughlin is with me. If you want to join the conversation, it's 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Thanks for being with us. If you're just getting out of work, just joining us, Ed Tandy McLaughlin is our guest. The Father You've Always Wanted is the name of his latest book, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. Fatherlessness is an ever-increasing problem. Some reports saying that more than 51% of children today are growing up without a father present in their lives. And even for those fathers who are physically present, many never experience a solid, positive relationship with a loving father. And it's that lack of fatherly influence and care that has deep ramifications for life, including how we interact with others, how we raise our own children and understand God as a father. But God promised that he would not leave us as orphans, that everyone who believes becomes an adopted son or daughter of a loving father in heaven. I guess the bottom line is that we do an awful lot of crazy things in this life searching for that father love and it's costing us deeply. Now, you might say to yourself, well, I don't come from a broken home. I had a dad. But were you connected to the dad? Did you ever receive your dad's blessing, so to speak? Did he tell you that he loved you? Did you know for sure that he loved you? And or have you spent most of your life kind of secretly looking for his blessing and looking for a name? It's a much bigger problem, I think, than most of us are willing to admit. But as we continue the conversation, I think you'll see where we're going with this. And feel free to join us at any point. 1-800-684-2848, 800-684-2848, or 883-5000. All right, let's get back to it. Sherry in Boston, New York, just outside Buffalo. How are you doing, Sherry?
We're doing well.
Good to have you with us. And I made the assumption that's Boston, New York, but rather than Massachusetts, but never know.
You're right.
Okay.
No, you're right.
All right, so you had a question. Go ahead.
Well, actually, I had a comment, and I had an encouragement for those listeners that have grown up in a home where an absent father was there. Whether or not the father is at home and they still have no time or energy or commitment to you, or whether they're gone by divorce or death. And I know I grew up in a home where my father chose to abandon us. And growing up, sometimes I felt as if, gosh, it would be better off. I don't know if he were dead and he couldn't come to me, or whether it was that he just chose not to. And I mean, I know that sounds harsh, but as a child, how I felt. Sometimes I wish that I knew he couldn't, but I knew that he could. And at every opportunity to show up as a dad, my father would promise the world and never be there. And it wasn't until I was about 25 that I grew up with a heart towards God, but an influence of I know who God is, but how can he be my father? And is he going to do those same things? And I know that we make those connections. But it isn't until I looked into the true face of God, my father, and trusted him completely with my life, that I realized what a true father was. And throughout the years, as we would ask my father to step up to say, Dad, I need you for this, or would show up for that, and he'd say, yeah, and he'd always wait. I remember being in a situation where God told me to change my life and my lifestyle, to physically pack up where I lived and move. And all I could think of is, God, how am I going to do this? I can't do this on my own. And I remember him saying, call your dad. And I thought, no, I'm not calling my dad. And my dad's not going to be there. And he said, you trust me. If you trust me that this is what I want you to do, and it, as you said, the small, still voice, you call your dad. And I did. And for the first time in my life, and quite honestly, the last, my father showed up. He came, and he moved me. And I packed all of my things, and I was waiting for him. And God told me that he'd provide, and he did. And my father showed up, he moved me, and he went back to being the same person that he is, unreliable. But he still loved us the best that he could. And I guess my encouragement is you cannot look at the face of the human and expect them to be there, do things, or I actually have no expectations of them at all.
That's a good question. Let me ask, is it unfair to assume that our dads will provide for this need when ultimately it's God the Father who's the one who meets the need anyway?
See, that's a great point that she made, a great question. See, the truth of the matter is that you could have a perfect father, just an absolute perfect father in every way you could design him, but the truth is, his job, and my job as a dad, is to prepare my kids to be adopted. That's my job. I'm the model as much as I can by receiving it for myself so that I have something to give my children. But ultimately, when I'm long and gone, it will be the Father's legacy that he gave his son, the inheritance of Christ in us, that's a rudder in our life. And the truth is, no dad can be perfect. But, and one of the reasons why, you know, that amazing moment she had with her dad is that the reason why he wasn't able to be that guy is that he doesn't have it in him, because he never was somebody's son. And when a guy has that ache inside of him, he lives every day with the shame he has over not being a good dad. I mean, there's dads who are probably listening on the radio right now, driving home from work, and you feel like it's too late to change your family. It's too late to call that daughter who said, "I hate you," 10 years ago. But I had a letter that I received not too long ago, Neil, from a dad, and it had been 20 years since he had contact with his daughter. Horrible divorce, and that there's not a single divorce isn't horrible.
Wow.
Not only does it shred two people, it completely removes the foundation for the kids. And it's like, if you're a born-again Christian and love Jesus and it doesn't work, and, well, they sort of think, well, God's not big enough. And this guy writes me a letter if it's too late. And remember, he called me on the phone, and we have a number that you can call on our website to get coaching time, and so I got him on the phone, and guess what his story was? Probably much like your husband, and no father in his life, and felt abandoned, and so he got divorced when his daughter was just a young girl. And so he called me, and I prayed with him on the phone. He had never known the love of the Father, and gave his life to Christ, and blessed him, and I said, just write one more letter. And I want you to write the letter with this question: help me understand how I hurt you as a father. If you ever want to talk, here's my number. Well, she got the letter, and she called her dad within an hour of the letter. He lived in Texas. She lived in Cincinnati. Been 20 years. She gets on the phone, and she says, "Daddy, I have a question that I have to ask you. Can we meet?" And so they made an arrangement to meet in a restaurant in Cincinnati. He flew up. He got there early. You imagine not seeing your daughter for 20 years, a horrible divorce, and you're sitting in the back table waiting, and this girl comes in about the right age, and they make eye contact, and she comes over to the table and says, "Before you say anything, I got to know the answer to this question." He said, "What's that?" "Was I that ugly?"
Oh, my.
And he says, "What?"
Oh, my.
She said, "Daddy, was I that ugly? You never kissed me, never held me, you never told me you loved me. And I just figured out that you divorced Mom because I was just too ugly."
Wow.
And he just broke and wept and said, "Baby, I'm so sorry. But you see, what you didn't know was that your dad had a problem with pornography 20 years ago, and it was so bad that it caused me to destroy my relationship with your mom. And she divorced me because I was just so broken, and I was so afraid of somehow poisoning you, I stayed away from you, and I am so sorry." She jumped across the table. 32-year-old girl jumps across the table and hugs her daddy and says, "Daddy, I've waited for you all my life." And then invites him over to her house that afternoon. And, you know, he puts himself together and drives over and comes to the front door, and there's a screen door on their house. And he knocks on the screen door and hears, "He's here." And two grandchildren that he never knew about ran out of that screen door and jumped into Grandpa's arms for the first time. And since that time, he's blessed his daughter. She's a single mom. She married a project. She married a boy that she tried to turn into the daddy that left, and he mishandled her heart like boys do, and she ended up and a number of relationships looking for that guy that will be safe enough. And the truth for a girl and a guy is there's only one man that's safe enough. His name's Jesus. And there's only one Father that can heal the wound that we carry in our life. And that's the Father God.
Incredible story. Sherry, thank you for your phone call. I wish we had more time to continue, but that is an incredible story. And so grateful that you were willing to share it, because it prompted Ed, obviously, to share the story about this other woman who had contacted him and told her story of just how deep those wounds can be, but how powerful God's love and healing can be on the opposite side of that coin. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Rhonda, you'll be next. Sherry, again, I appreciate your phone call. Ed Tandy McLaughlin is our guest, the father you've always wanted, how God heals your father wounds. And we'll continue in just a moment. Been listening to stories about girls being affected by a father wound. It's something that deeply affects men as well. In fact, that's Ed's story, and I do want to touch on that in the moments to come. We'll be back in just a moment. Ed Tandy McLaughlin, my guest, the father you've always wanted, the name of his book. I want to read real quick before we get to Rhonda. And Rhonda, don't go away, because I'm going to get to you in just a second. But Ed, there's another fellow that I've interviewed before. He's an author. He's a relatively young man. His name is Michael Bull Roberts. Very difficult past, you know, drugs, brokenness, trouble with the law. Ended up writing a book called The Tender Heart of a Beast. He's got tats all over his body. To look at him, he might appear to be a scary character, but he's a wonderful friend, a wonderful brother in Christ. He came to faith in Christ, and he's cleaned up his past. He's made amends. He's asked forgiveness. He's confronted his legal issues. God set in the process of setting him free. He posted on Facebook amongst a question that Michael asked. He said, Michael said, describe the father you've always wanted. Michael Bull Roberts responded this way. He said, anyone would have been better than the one I had. But I forgive. That's the past. I would have preferred one that actually cared and would have taught me how to love others. Wait a minute. Yeah, I have one now that God the Father is the only, he's the only father I need. I'm not sure I'll ever realize what I wanted in a father, but I do know that whenever I watch shows on TV, when there's a father loving his son, it kind of makes me tear up a lot, because I always wished my dad cared and would talk to me or even showed me a small wee bit of emotion. He was a twisted dude. But now he's dead and gone, and I'll never have that chance to know him. I wish my dad would have protected me when I was a kid, being beat up and bullied and molested. But instead, he was too busy using me as a punching bag every day. But as I said, I forgive him. But to all the fathers out there, don't take your kids for granted and your families for granted, because there are guys like me out there that would give anything to have a family. And if you lost yours tomorrow, think of what your regrets would be and make the changes now so that later never happens. Unbelievable. All right, let me get to Rhonda. Rhonda, how are you? Good to have you with us. You got a question or a comment for Ed?
Oh, I just have a comment. I love your show, first of all.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, participating.
Well, my comment is much regarding what some of the callers have addressed, but specifically, I think men, even men that are really good or really great dads, aren't always aware of their words, or in my case, their lack of words, and the effect that it has on people, especially daughters. My dad was a great dad, is a great dad. He's 90 years old now. And about 20 or 30 years ago, it just occurred to me that at some point my dad stopped using the words, I love you. And I would say I love you to him as I was leaving to go, and it was always just this very thoughtful smile or nod of his head. And I mentioned something to my mom about that one day. And my dad just had this, he just broke down and opened up. He had no idea that by not saying the words, I love you, that that was having an effect on me. And now to this day, I mean, as I said, he's 90. Every time I talk to him, every time I see him, more than once in a conversation, he will tell me I love you. And that has just been such a gift to me. And I think it's just something that men as a whole may not be aware of. So that was my reason for calling in.
I appreciate you bringing that up. Ed, how would you respond to that?
Well, you know, she's right. There's something that's extraordinarily powerful in the words that we speak. You know, James writes about that the power that we have in the tongue, we can either bless with it or we can curse, or we can be silent, which is sometimes even worse. And, you know, part of what, and kind of responding to Michael Bull, Robert's comment, and kind of what happened to me, and I think that will help him in his story, because forgiving your dad's really important, but forgiving him, it was great, but how do I get one? And I came across this story with a Jewish rabbi friend of mine that, because I began to do a question of how do I bless my children in a way that marks them and speaks life into them.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just being present every day and saying, I love you, and even more powerful than I love you, a more powerful comment is, this is what I love about you. Because that line opens the heart of my daughters and my sons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a very powerful way to name them. Not to say, well, I love you because you're smart, I love you because this, but, honey, I love that God has made you this way, and I admire that, and I wish I was more like you. Man, I tell you, it opens the heart of your children, because if you have the heart of your kid, you can lead them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you get kind of the hand or the whatever face.
Yeah.
Whatever. And you kind of slapped that off of him.
You said that a little too good, Ed.
I had that whatever face, okay, towards
yeah.
me. And so what happened to me, I was 40 years old,
mm-hmm.
Tried to be the best dad I could, and yet I couldn't stop making it about Ed. And struggled with just my, you know, I was a lead pastor of a church, planted a church, had a mm-hmm. ministry that I traveled, spoke with Billy Graham, did all this stuff in the world to try to prove myself. Kind of Michael's story is, you know, you can try to prove yourself and be bad, or even prove yourself to try to be good.
Either way, yeah.
The problem is that God didn't choose us because of our giftedness.
Yeah.
He didn't choose us because of our talent. He chose us because he loves us. And he chose us because he knows that with him, we are more than conquerors and life changes. And so I knew my wife was hurting. My daughters were afraid of me because I didn't know how to say, be present. I didn't know how to hug them. And so I cried out to the Lord. I had one of these really, really bad fathering moments that moms and dads have where they're not listening to you and you try to scream them into a new place. And I said some of the most harmful things to my 11-year-old son and my oldest son that I love with all my heart. And I went in my office and I just cried out to the Lord. And I said, why did I do that? And the father I always wanted just kind of broke through in that moment and said, well, Ed, that's the way you talk to yourself. You see, you've learned how to hear my voice through the broken filter of when your stepfather was drunk and angry. But that's not who I am. If you learn how to hear the voice of the father, I'll make you the kind of man that makes a difference. And in a moment, Neil, the God just kind of showed me my whole life. How I had spent as an orphan, you know, hearted boy, my whole life trying to prove myself.
Mm-hmm.
My family was about me. My church was about me. My kids were about me. My wife was about me. And I said, God, I gotta have a change in my life. And I went to lunch with a rabbi friend of mine. And I said, I'm learning some things, I think, about bar mitzvah and about rites of passage, and can I bounce it off of you historically? And he looks at me and he says, you remember the story when Jesus was 12 years old and went to the temple? And I said, yeah. And he said something that's very confusing. I said, yeah, when his mom looked for him for 3 days in Luke chapter 2, and he had kind of traveled away from the caravan. Mary finds him and is pretty distraught with Joseph. And Jesus said, why are you looking for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? And this rabbi looks at me and says something that just floors me. And he said, when a Jewish boy in our community doesn't have his natural father to call him out to be a man at 13 years old, he goes to the temple at 12 years old, a year before, to ask and answer questions, to be prepared by the men of that synagogue to bless him to be a man. And it just strikes me. Jesus was 12 years old. His natural father is in heaven. He has a stepdad on earth. And it just hits me. Jesus, in that moment, went to that temple at 12 years old for every single one of us who didn't have a dad in our story that knew how to bless us. So that in him, when we are born again, we get to have the same father that he had. And then I came across Matthew chapter 3, the baptism of Jesus, and this rabbi and I are talking about it, and this audible voice of the Father in heaven speaking. He speaks twice in the New Testament. First time he speaks when in front of the of John the Baptist, Jesus being baptized, he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I love." And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, another time in Jesus' story, he says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And his rabbi looks at me and says, "Do you know what the last line of Bar Mitzvah is, Ed?" And I said, "I think I do." He said, "I remember when I called my youngest son out to be a man at 13 years old in a day. I called all the men together in our community, and we formed a wall of honor. And I sat my son across the wall of honor, and I ran down the middle saying over him all the things I love about his life and who God has made him to be. I picked him up on my shoulders, and I carried him into manhood as all the men of that community laid their hands on him and blessed him. And I said to him in Hebrew, 'This is my beloved son in whom I love.'" I said, "Oh my gosh, that was a model." And then he looks at me and said, "Ed, for thousands of years, Jewish fathers, whether they know that Jesus was the Messiah or they're conservative Orthodox Jews, have been saying the same line over their sons and daughters, the way the Father in heaven spoke over Jesus."
Wow. Okay, you're blowing my mind.
And That's just fabulous. Went, how do I get that for me? Because my dad's dead. And it was a couple of weeks later, I am in front of a group of high school kids. And in the beginning of our show, for those who are listening, I shared with you that my dad was killed a month before I was born. He was a fighter pilot. He circled a single word in the Bible. And that word was the word "come" in the story. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water towards him on the Sea of Galilee, and Peter said, "If it's really you, bid me to come to you on the water." Well, Jesus said, "Come." Well, my dad took a red pen and circled that word the night before he crashed. And I'm standing in front of these kids, and I happen to choose this section of Scripture, Neil, not thinking that, not putting two and two together, because I needed to share on faith for these high school kids, and had about 100 kids in a living room. And so I'm reading this story, not realizing that 40 years earlier, my dad read this story the night before he died. And when I came to the word "come" in that story, all I can tell you is that the father that I never got to know, the father I always wanted, that I write about in this book, spoke to me. And he said these words. The last word your dad heard before he died was the word "come." At 400 miles an hour, my daddy, on his way on a test flight, heard the last word that he needed to know, that he read the night before. And that's what I've called your life for, to call people to come to me. And then he said, from this moment on, Ed, you are no longer a football player. You are my beloved son in whom I love. And in a moment, Neil and Michael, if you're still listening, the father I've always wanted, the father that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, when he says, God says, I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters. He blessed me and called me out in a moment to be a man, just like I was 12 years old or 13 years old, standing in front of a group of men. And all I can tell you is the blessing and the name, Beloved, that he spoke over his son is the same name that he wants to speak over every daughter and every son that has a dad or didn't have a dad, so that in him you can have the identity and come to know something that's extraordinarily powerful, is that at 40, for the first time in my life, after I played pro football, after I did all this stuff, even for Jesus, I got to be somebody's son for the first time.
Yikes.
And it just began to do a work in me to rename all the false names that I named myself, all the performance markers that I thought if I got to this level that I'd be happy, to understand that the most anointed we can be, Neil and Michael and the caller, is to be a son or daughter that he absolutely adores. And I just want to close with this another little story that just happened not too long ago. And I don't know if you can hear it through the phone, but I have these dog tags on my neck.
Yep. Can hear.
And my father, Ed Tandy, on May the 28th, 1956, he actually took these off his neck and laid them on the bedside table next to my mom when he kissed her goodbye before he crashed. And I wear these. I drive sound guys crazy in conferences because they think there's jingling in their systems. And until I show them this, and they go, could you tape those? And it's fun. And I was walking up, actually, and last year in front of a group of boys who have been stuck in the life of homosexuality for many years. There's 650 of them in a room. Every single one of them didn't have a dad, have had tremendous abuse, and all have a false name given to them by the world, all of them wanting to be somebody's son. And I was walking up to get ready to share my message, and my dog tag started to jingle. And as they were jingling, the father I've always wanted speaks to me, and this is for people driving. You know, it's just one of the most extraordinary things about God is that he loves to take in us, in Michael Bull Roberts, he loves to take the thing that the world would say, because you are so screwed up, you will never make a difference, and turn it into a testimony that makes his light shine in a dark place. Mm-hmm. And my dog tags were jingling, and he speaks these words to me. He said, Ed, I let your dad come home early so I could be your father. Wow. And the message that I put inside of you, no man can say, came from a great dad on earth. Now go and tell them that I am the father that they've always wanted.
Unbelievable. Wow, hang on a minute. We're going to have to take a break here, and hopefully Michael Bull Roberts is still listening. He sent me a Facebook message a moment ago saying he was listening, and I hope he was able to hear that. Rhonda, thank you for your phone call. We've got to take a break. We'll be back with more of Lifeline Thursday edition here on WDCX. If you want to join us, any question, any comment, 1-800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. Again, it's toll-free, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right, let's get back to it here. And if you want to join the conversation, it's 1-800-684-2848, 883-5000. Ed, we need to catch up. We're a little bit behind here. But If you don't mind, just reiterate for us a little bit about your ministry now, because obviously this has become your focus. This is what you do. You've got a place where people can go and hear your podcast. You do seminars and workshops and that kind of stuff. There's several books. This is obviously the message God placed in your heart, and it is your story. So a quick understanding about how people can continue to benefit in the days ahead.
Yeah, we my book's just been published by Baker, my third book, and it's out. And we do conferences. We'll come into a community, to a church, and matter of fact, we're on our way up to San Francisco area this weekend, and so we'll do a big outreach to, you know, guys who never come to church who might listen to a football player, but to really itch and scratch the wound of this whole issue about the father wound and fatherlessness and how to be a dad, how to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And so we do weekends where in churches where we do a passage for the whole community, to where we equip men and women to be the sons and daughters that God's called them to be so that they can be present with their kids. Because when you're focused on yourself as a parent, you're mm-hmm. a bad parent.
Yeah, well, amen. And I raise my hand on that one. I've spent so much of my early days doing exactly what you said, searching for a name.
Yeah.
And
that we struggle with that, you know. Yeah. And so we do that. We have a women's conference that we call Becoming the Beloved. We have the Blessing of the Father conference that we run as a men's event or an all-church event. And normally we come in on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with a family event, and then we do all the Sunday services, and we reach out. And one of the cool things that we've done is that we take my first book, The Difference the Father Makes, and we sow it into the whole community. Mm-hmm. And we've seen just extraordinary number of people come to church that would never go because they've lost their kids.
Hey, let me ask you this. Michael Bull Roberts on the phone here. Can you got a second? We'll take a break.
I would love to talk with him and pray with him.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Here's a chance to catch up, quick segment here, and then we'll be back with Michael Bull Roberts and Ed Tandy McGlosson. He's author of the book, The Father You've Always Wanted. Well, I'm just checking Facebook here and realized that our newest like on Facebook is Ed Tandy McGlosson. That's fabulous. That's really
good.
And
I disconnected to Michael's page, too.
Oh, that's great. Michael.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, brother? You're on with Ed. And I don't know how long you were listening, but at some point you posted something on Facebook. I read it. Michael called you to make sure you were listening after I read it, and then you heard part of this. But is this making sense, this whole heart of the father thing, the fact that we search?
Yeah, yeah. I guess. I just listened to it. It was just kind of emotional there to me.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I was praying as I was talking that you would call in because, you know, God has these amazing divine appointments for us, you know. And I can tell that you're an illustrated man. I'm looking at all your beautiful artwork. And matter of fact,
I don't know how beautiful it is.
when I see tattoos, it's the Lord gave me a perspective on this. He said, when you see a tattoo, it's just one of my kids who don't know that I love them. He said, so they feel invisible, and so you go get them. So I got a lot of friends and a lot of orphans. And I don't know if you heard in the last segment about how the Lord kind of blessed me. Mm. And were you able to hear that?
No, I just caught the last part. We were talking about your father and the dog tags and that stuff.
One of the things that happened to me at 40 years old was I got to meet the father I always wanted.
Yeah.
And I got to let my dad off the hook.
Yeah.
My dead dad and my alcoholic stepfather, who he didn't do to me what happened to you in your story. Yeah. But from the beginning, before God, it says in Ephesians, before God... God made the earth. It says that He predestined you. He chose you before the foundation of the world, Michael, that you might be His son.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter how you started. It doesn't matter how your story begins and how it ends. And I love the work that you do and the book you wrote and what you're doing. And yet today I think the Father wants to say something to you. And he wants to bless you just like he blessed his son in that river. When Jesus was standing in the River Jordan, when he came out of the river, he heard the audible voice of the Father in heaven. And he said over him, "You are my beloved son and whom I love." And I came to know that that is the last line of Bar Mitzvah that every Jewish father speaks over his son before he comes a man, and a daughter in a Bat Mitzvah ceremony. And at 40 years old, I heard that over my own life.
Yeah.
And I just love the honor to pray with you right now. Would that be all right?
Yeah, I would, please.
And, Lord, I just thank you for Michael.
Yes, God.
And right now, Michael, I say over to you what the Father said over me in my story, that from this moment on, Michael, your name is not about your past. It's not about what your dad did or didn't do. From this moment on, the Father in heaven says over you, from this moment on, Michael, you are my beloved son in whom I love. And he calls you out right now to bless you in what Ephesians says with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And what your daddy couldn't do because he had no blessing to give you, the Father right now gives you. And he blesses your life, and he calls your life out. And, Michael, greater favor is going to be on you than you've ever known.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Greater connection to the voice of the Father you're going to have more than you've ever known. And you don't need your dad to come back from the dead to make it right. Jesus came back from the dead and made it all right for all of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he blesses you right now, Michael. And he calls you out and says, you are a godly man by the grace of God and
yes,
by the love of the Father. And your life will be blessed now because it says in 2 Corinthians 6:18, God says, I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. You're his son. You're his beloved son in Christ. And he calls you out right now with all the favor you need, with all the strength you need, with
yes,
all the wisdom you need to be the man of God and one day have the family that he wants you to have.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus Christ, he blesses you. Amen.
How you doing there, big guy?
man. Been hard the last little while. Getting really frustrated with things, man. I'm struggling to try to help people. I'm helping as much as I can and doing as much as I can, but I'm getting burnt out in my heart. I'm losing faith, and I don't want to lose faith because I know how God changed my life. I'm tired of having to fight to prove to people all the time that my heart is right with God. You know?
Yeah.
He's
well, Michael, you're a son now, and you're his son, and the number one thing you got to do, this is something that God did for me, is I remember when this happened to me, I grabbed my journal, and I went outside, grabbed a cup of coffee, and I wrote a question to my dad that I would ask my dad if he had been sitting there.
Yeah.
And he started to refather my heart and fill me up so that I would know how to meet the needs of the people that he brings my way. Because you can only give what you receive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You would think at 38 years old, you wouldn't give a crap about having a father or anything like that. You wouldn't need anything like that, you know.
Well, hey, I've
had amazing how much like a father affects your life, you know.
No, he does.
And that's why all these single mothers that are sometimes granted the fathers aren't there, but.
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't realize how important it is for those fathers to be there.
Yeah.
That are trying to be a part of their kids' life. Because, kids growing up without a father, it does affect them.
Well, guess what, man? It's in you now. So you go out and get all the orphan boys and girls that God sends your way and bless them, man.
That's what I try to do.
Bless them.
Yeah, you do it. And we'll make sure that we get you a book. And we're just going to get connected. And, man, I'm in your corner.
Thanks, brother.
And yeah. I'm excited about talking with you.
You know, Michael said something on his Facebook recently. We're going to have to move on here real quick, but Michael, I'll be in touch as well. You said something in one of your posts somewhere, and I don't remember exactly how you worded it, but it was that, you know, you're asking for help to do what you do, and sometimes people can't see past the tattoos on your skin. They can't see your heart, and I prayed for you that day, and I've been praying for you, and I've seen some of the pain in your recent posts, and it's just bizarre that while I mentioned you on air, Ed, you obviously moved in the direction of talking to Michael. And because God was speaking to your heart. And I just think, Michael, you need to understand that God's been speaking to my heart. He's been speaking to Ed's heart. And I didn't know how all this was going to transpire. I didn't know you were going to post something on our Facebook page today. But I think this is evidence that God is saying, Michael, I haven't even begun to work through you yet.
That's it, buddy.
Have not even begun to show you what I've got for you because you belong to me. You're mine, you know. And so, Michael, you take heart, brother. You are loved. I love you. And Ed's just getting to know you. He's going to love you. You wait and see. He already does. And,
yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited for what you're doing. And, you know, you just live as the son right now. No more beggar. You're not the son of a broken dad. You're the son of the most amazing father that anyone can have.
Amen.
And he so loves you, he lets you paint yourself up, and he's going to show you off to the world.
I love that. All right. Bull, thanks for joining us.
Talk to
you soon, Michael. God bless.
Okay, God bless, man.
All right, when we come back, we got to wrap things up here with Ed McGlossin. We've kept him way beyond our scheduled time, but we are late for another break, and we'll be back to wrap it up in a moment. You're listening to Lifeline here on WDCX. What a fabulous conversation. That's awesome. And Michael, thanks for calling in. Ed, thanks for taking the time to talk with him. We'll be back. Thanks for all of you participating, and I'm sure many of you were praying along with that as he was praying for Michael about the situation and the feelings in his own heart. What a fabulous conversation today with Ed Tandy McGlossin, author of The Father You've Always Wanted. Ed, we've kept you way beyond the scheduled time. I'm so grateful for your willingness to hang in there. And
man, you know what? The Lord, this is one of the coolest things in my life is that God, he brings me orphans every day, and I get to watch the Father do his work. And, you know, there's only two kinds of people in the world. Neil, there's orphans and there's the beloved. Jesus said in John, I will not leave you as orphans. He called 500 people in a room orphans, but I will come to you. And I believe that we live in a day where the Father is at move to restore his sons and daughters. And we're going to see a revival in the church and our young people that's going to leave our mouths wide open, our eyes filled with tears, as we watch the Father use them to shake up the whole world. And on my watch, I'm just calling moms and dads back to their kids so that they can become the beloved themselves. And as they're the beloved, they got something to give away.
Amen. EdTandyMcGlossin.org, and is it .com as well? Can you?
I believe it's .org, .com. You can get me on Facebook. You can also get a hold of me through my email at fathers@mac.com, and I would love to connect with you. And if you're a pastor and you're listening, or you could give your pastor my book and love to talk to him. We'd love to come into community and shake up Buffalo a little bit. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. And I'm in your corner on that one. I'll be happy to put in some good words wherever they need to go.
Hey, thank you, my friend.
Got several suggestions and folks I'm going to be talking to after this conversation about that possibility. So that's big. But, Ed, thank you so much. Again, great to get to know you. I just friended you on Facebook. So
we're connected now.
Yeah, hopefully you'll accept, you know.
I will. I got two Facebook pages. We're getting ready to change to a fan page. You can probably know all about that. So so if you get unfriended in the next couple of weeks, just go up back on, and we're going to have a fan page we're trying to build right now.
Okay, sounds good. All right, we'll talk to you soon. And again, grateful for your willingness to be a part of the ministry here.
Yeah, I got to meet Michael, man. What an incredible thing. And Debbie and those gals we got to pray with. That's what a joy.
Amen.
Blessings to you, brother. You're
too.
The beloved.
And you are too. Thanks, Ed. God bless. What a great conversation in preparation for Father's Day. That is fabulous.